You don't need an idea to become a founder and to start a company. When we first started on this journey, I hadn't quite honed in on this was the problem that I wanted to solve. So if you know that you want to be in a certain problem space or persona, even if you don't have an idea yet, go out there and just talk to that persona and ask them, what are the things that keep you up at night? What are the like biggest pain points or friction points in your world right now, right? And speak to, you know, 10, 20, 50, 100 of those personas, and you'll start to see some trends, and very quickly that idea will emerge.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise a glass. Welcome back, everybody, to the Content Cocktail Hour. I am excited to be joined by Justin Dorfman, founder and CEO of Asset Mule today. I'm going to maybe be selfish a little bit with this conversation. He's a former product marketer. I'm a former product marketer. We've got some founder journey notes we can compare and trade on as well. But the meat of the conversation today is going to be around sales and marketing alignment, specifically the role that product marketing and sales enablement content can play in that alignment. So I'm really excited. I think this is such a powerful topic. Before I start rambling too much on the topic, Justin, welcome to the show. Well, how about in your own words, share a little bit of your background and kind of your journey to Asset Mule?
Yeah, well, great to be here and great to chat with a fellow product marketer turned founder. Always fun. Yeah, so my background, I've been in the SaaS world for about 15 years now. I started my career actually as an early stage salesperson and sort of was a salesperson, built out a sales development team, so went into sales leadership as well, and then eventually got this opportunity to build out product marketing at the same company that I had this journey. And didn't know what product marketing was, but very quickly fell in love with the practice and became obsessed with it. And it's where I first sort of ran across the problems that I ended up now trying to solve with Asset Mule. And that's all around sales collateral and the collaboration between sales and product marketing when it comes to that sales collateral. And at a very high level, what we're trying to do is make sales assets much easier to create and design without needing designers, so that a product marketer or a salesperson can build their own sales assets, either using templates or a library of pre-designed components that we have in our library. So think about it as like dragging and dropping pricing tables and things like that, where you don't need to design them, but you just sort of populate them with your content. But really the core of what we're doing as well is helping sales folks be able to personalize assets for each of their prospects while protecting the messaging and the branding that product marketers hold so near and dear to their heart, right? And we're doing that with sort of a snippet library of quotes and images and benefit statements and stats that product marketing can curate and then sales can sort of use. And then the final piece of what we're doing is really replacing PDFs as sort of the format for these assets. So, you know, nobody's printing these things off anymore, right? Everybody's looking at them through a browser. So why not make them a web-based experience that's more interactive with things like video and interactive demos, but also make them fully trackable where you can actually see what your prospects are doing on the page and how they're sharing them with other people on their team. So that's kind of the mandate that we have at Asset Mule. And again, it all comes back to solving problems that I experienced myself as a product marketer, but also as a salesperson, and trying to figure out, well, like, what's going on behind the scenes when I send those assets over the fence to my buyers.
Yeah, if you're not watching this episode on YouTube, I was just smirking during that entire description, because as a former product marketer, you just hit like the three like major pain points so square on the head. It's like, yep, I feel that. That's awesome. And I love the, it's very subtle, but the very clear pain point. And you built a business to solve the pain point. You know, people ask me all the time about The Juice. They're like, oh, did you know you wanted to build a business? Or like, have you always wanted to be an entrepreneur? I was kind of like, no, I just had a pain point that nobody else was solving. And it's like, well, I'm going to go solve it if no one else is going to. So I think it's really cool. I'm excited to dig in today. Well, it is the Content Cocktail Hour. We always like asking all of our guests, what are they enjoying drinking nowadays? Justin, what's that answer for you?
Yeah, for me, I guess it's cappuccinos or coffee, anything with caffeine. I've got two little boys. I got a 6.5-year-old and 2.5-year-old as a startup founder. So there's a lot of caffeine to kind of keep me going through the day. But, you know, I'm not a big alcohol drinker or anything like that. But when I do, I like something that, like a mojito, something that's fresh, something that makes me feel like I'm a little bit on an island vacation or something like that. So that's sort of my drink of choice.
Yes, I'm in the Midwest where it's like 90 and humid today, and a mojito sounds very nice. So thanks for that inspiration. Well, cool. Let's talk sales and marketing alignment. You've sat on both sides of it, which I think is really powerful. You've led a sales dev team, which I think a lot of times is the connective tissue between sales and marketing, sometimes even reports into marketing. I actually led a marketing team where sales dev reported into us, which I think is really powerful. But even going a layer deeper there, product marketing is a lot of times becomes the connective tissue between product marketing and sales. But can also be like a really overlooked, I think, function within the organization. But when it's done well, it can be extremely powerful. What's kind of your perspective on that role? How much enablement should they be doing versus a sales enablement team? Why have you at Asset Mule really like narrowed in on that role specifically? And what are you seeing are their current pain points that you all are solving?
Great question. And I think it like hones in right on what you said, which is this is a really important function and really strategic function, but one that is often overlooked or misunderstood and seen as sort of a tactical order taker in a way, right? And one of the reasons why we decided to focus on product marketing from the beginning, first of all, as a product marketer, the problems that I was solving, I knew were relevant to product marketers, but I also realized that for such a strategic function, there are no tools that are built for this function, right? They're using a lot of other people's tools or general purpose tools like Google Docs and Google Slides and Google Drive and things like that, right? So it felt like there was a real opportunity to build something that was built for product marketers and also, you know, beyond the product itself to make product marketers heard and seen, right? Like one of our big approaches with Asset Mule, it's actually a value at sort of a core value for our company is empower the product marketer. We feel like it's time to show all the great work that product marketers are doing and introduce the world to all these great product marketers out there, sort of keeping all these different functions tied together. That's kind of why we're focusing on product marketing as an ideal customer profile. But in terms of the role itself, it is a connective tissue between many different functions, product, marketing, sales, customer success, and so on. And alignment is core there. And I think it all starts with just understanding what product marketing is and how product marketing can add value to every one of those roles, right? So for the product team, it's not about, hey, we have a feature that we're launching. Can you announce it? That's not product marketing. It's bringing them in early to understand who the customer is and what their pain points are and what their priorities are and how to build a product or a feature that's going to resonate with that and then feed into that messaging and positioning into the launch, right? And sales very much the same way, right? It's bringing product marketing into conversations early to understand who the customer is that you're selling to, what their priorities are, what their needs are, so they can help you with the right collateral and the right messaging and strategy to win those accounts. So that's kind of, I think, something that is often overlooked is just how strategic this function is and how early you should bring it into these conversations, whether it's product launches or enablement.
Completely agree. Rapid fire question for you. Should product marketing sit in product or marketing?
It's an interesting question. I don't know if I have a like it should sort of answer. I can tell you where I enjoyed it the most. So I've been on both sides. I've been a product marketer within a product team and product marketer within the marketing team. And I felt like a product marketer in the product team was the most interesting for me and maybe the most beneficial for the organization as a whole, because being part of the product team, I was brought in early naturally to the product life cycle. So that allowed me to feed sort of the product marketing very, very early into the process, right? Being part of customer discovery, being part of the product roadmap and the product design process, and then feeding that into the content creation and the launch plans and the marketing and the sales enablement. I feel like when I was part of a marketing team, I was often brought in too late into the product lifecycle. And that might not always be the case. If you can still be in the marketing team and be brought in early, that's fine. But I feel like being naturally part of the product team brings you in early and makes it a much more strategic role and allows you to sort of embed product marketing into that full lifecycle of the product.
I've been on both as well. And I think you're right. Like when you're embedded in product, you're really embedded in the process, the product process, which that flows downhill much easier than I feel like marketing trying to go extract the details needed from product. I appreciate that perspective. Maybe one more question on kind of the team structure elements of product marketing. Should product marketing be the first marketing hire for a marketing team, or should it be, you know, do you have brand and demand and then product, or kind of when do you see product marketing being introduced into an org?
Yeah, I actually believe that it should be the first go-to-market hire as a whole. And I don't know that I always believe that, but now I'm a big believer in it. And I always believed early on that the hungry young salesperson should be your first go-to-market hire. That's what I originally believed. And that was me, right? When I joined this company, Tracker, I was the 13th employee. I was sort of the first sales guy going out there making things happen before there was even marketing, right? So that was my early belief. A little later on in my career, I was talking to somebody and they shared this perspective on how product marketing should be the first hire. And the perspective that they gave was, before you can even do sales or any type of marketing, you have to know who your customer is. You have to know what their pain points are, what their jobs to be done are, right? And feed that into everything that comes after that, which includes product development all the way through marketing and sales, right? And that kind of shifted my mindset, right? And I think the reason why maybe it's not the first hire usually is because a lot of the times the founder is the original product marketer. So they're doing that job anyway, right? Especially if it's sort of, I mean, even if it's a product sort of focused founder, a lot of the times they're naturally talking to a lot of customers and doing that early discovery and starting to put together that positioning and messaging and go-to-market strategy. So that might be why it's not the first hire, but I do think it's really beneficial to think about that as a early hire, because then customer discovery and sort of a buyer first mindset becomes ingrained in the DNA of the company. So that's now my belief. Even before hiring your first salesperson that can bring in revenue, really think about who you're selling to and who you're building for. And that's where product marketing really comes in.
I love that. It sounds really counterintuitive. I think until you kind of put that lens on it of the founder's already doing product marketing. So it's like, that's probably something they should maybe kind of like offboard or support in a bigger way pretty quickly. And then you're like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. So that's a really savvy perspective. I like it. I might be subscribing to that one. Okay, so let's talk content specifically. You mentioned like sales collateral, sales assets. That's what Asset Mule is helping product marketers, sales enablement team, sales team solve for. I don't know how to phrase this exact question, but like where in the like kind of content ecosystem, like should sales collateral and thought leadership and SEO content, like all the same, all should be related, but different and independent and owned by different people. How do you see like sales collateral fitting in the broader content ecosystem of an organization?
Yeah, it's a good question. What we're seeing is, and I think you asked earlier as well, like where does sales enablement fit from product marketing to sales enablement as a function, a standalone function? So what I've seen is that at earlier stage companies, let's say Series A and earlier, and it may even be Series B as well, there is no sales enablement function, right? It's usually a solo product marketer or a small product marketing team that is supporting a now growing sales team, right? Especially Series A, the company raises its first real round of funding and suddenly they're investing in sales. And that's where product marketing generally owns sales enablement content, right? And it makes a lot of sense because the product marketer, again, is very close to the customer, very close to the product. So they have that unique perspective of the sort of jobs to be done, the needs of the buyer, but also the functionality, the features, the capabilities, and connecting those dots, right, to deliver a story that the sales team can sell is really the core function of product marketing. What I've noticed is as a company grows, they start to get a lot of content, right? And that content can't just be distributed to the sales team. The sales team needs to be sort of trained on how to use that content, where to use that content, or where even to find that content, or even that content like even exists to let them know. And that's where sales enablement as a function really comes in, sort of making sure that these assets are organized in a way, tagged in a way that they're very easily discoverable by the sales team, that they're organized in a way that the sales team knows when to use these assets, at which stage of the buyer journey, how to use them, and sort of what impact that can have, right? And then to keep sort of a line of sight on which assets are actually being used versus not being used and which ones are actually driving impact versus not, and feeding that back to the product marketing. It's my belief that the product marketing and marketer should always be involved on the content creation side when it comes to sales assets, but it's sort of a really great partnership with the sales enablement team when they can then train the sales team on how to use that content, make sure that it's at an arm's length and then feed that information back to the product marketer of what's working, what's not, and how to sort of refine that content. So that's kind of how I've seen it play out in most cases. And in the best cases, that sort of collaboration between product marketing and sales enablement. But again, product marketing never losing sight of sales enablement, especially when it comes to the creation of that content.
I'm sure every marketer listening was nodding along when you were talking about a sales member requesting a sales asset that was probably created last week and they just missed it. And you're like, here it is. We already have it. It was shared with you once before. I've had that happen a few hundred thousand times.
And you know, it's interesting. One of the things that led us on this journey with Asset Mule beyond trying to solve my own pain points was a Forrester article that I ran across that made me realize, oh, wow, this is not just my problem. This is a much bigger problem. And it basically stated that companies spend as much as $17 million a year on sales and marketing content. And something like 67% of that content never gets used, right? And there's two main reasons why. The first is that it's not easily discoverable, so sales doesn't know where to find it or that it even exists. And there's a lot of solutions that have been created to try and solve that problem. And sales enablement products like HighSpot and Seismic and Showpad and so on, they've been around for a while, right? And they try and solve that problem. But what's interesting is the other side of the coin, which is actually the higher percentage. I think it was 30-something percent versus maybe 20-something percent for discoverability was that salespeople don't feel that the content that they're given is relevant to their buyers, so they never use it, right? And it makes a lot of sense. A lot of the content that I had seen in the past, even a lot that I had created, were sort of locked down PDFs, like a one-pager, right? Although they speak to your target audience and persona in general, they don't speak to the specific buyer that the salesperson is following up with, right? So you imagine a salesperson getting off a really great call with a prospect and realizing that the product that they're selling is perfect for that buyer and that buyer realizing it as well and getting excited to then be able to share it with the rest of their team and kind of start championing it in. And all the salesperson can do is send them a generic PDF, right? That doesn't really speak to them. So that's really where our sort of inspiration came is what can we do to actually like allow the salesperson to maybe swap things in and out and make it much more relevant for that buyer. But at the same time, we know that the product marketer has spent a ton of time and energy talking to customers and refining the messaging and testing things out and really putting a lot of focus on that. So make sure that that content that the salesperson is sort of swapping in is approved. The logos are logos that they can use. The videos that they're using are videos that are production quality. And the quotes that they're using are ones that are signed off on, right? So that's kind of an interesting side of the coin that I don't think has been tackled in the past that we're really focused on.
Yeah, it's interesting that generic PDF can actually like undo some of the excitement the prospect potentially had. And I think that speaks to something you were talking to me about before we hit record here. Buyer enablement, which I thought was like the next evolution. You know, sales enablement's the internal step, and then buyer enablement's taking all that tribal knowledge and then taking it to your buyer. What's your perspective? Just share more about your perspective on buyer enablement versus sales enablement.
In the B2B world, it's something that's a newer trend in discussion. But in the B2C world, it's been like this for a long time, right? If you think about Amazon, this is always the classic example. Like they don't have any salespeople, right? Selling books or everything that they sell now. And what they've done is they've just put an enormous amount of information for you to choose the right products, right? So you go to Amazon, you look through reviews, you've got all sort of the details. You can compare that product with other products that people have used or bought with it and so on. And they're giving the buyer everything that they need to make a decision, right? Now, B2B, sure, it's a little bit different, but what's similar between B2B and B2C is people are buying, right? Whether you're a consumer as a B2C consumer or you know you have a job and you're buying software, you're still a person, right? So it's not like you change when you go to the office or go to work, right? You still have the same sort of buying behaviors. So now B2B, I think, is starting to catch on to this trend. And there's a ton of stats that you can throw out there. Like, I think it's over 80% of the sales process happens without a salesperson. I think 30-something percent, Gartner had a stat that 30-something percent of buyers actually want a seller-free buying experience. They want to sort of be able to do everything on their own. And I think that number is growing. And there's also now more stakeholders in a purchasing decision than ever before. And most of those stakeholders, the salesperson may never even get in contact with. So the key in this sort of environment, the question is, how do salespeople keep control over the sales process when they're not a part of most of it, right? And the way that they do that is by converting their prospects into champions and enabling those champions with the information that they need to be able to make a case for this solution internally, right? And that starts with putting together a curated set of content and assets that speak exactly to their needs and their use case, right? So that when they look at that, they go, oh my God, this is made for me. I can't wait to talk to my VP and our CFO and make a case for this because it's made for me, but everybody else, it looks like, that has the same problem is using this solution and using it successfully, right? So that's kind of the idea with buyer enablement and sort of our spin on it is how do we make sure that a salesperson can pull together the right pieces of content that helps that buyer, first of all, become a champion because they feel this salesperson understands me, they understand the world I live in, the challenges that I face, and their solution is perfect for me. And now I can go out there and make that case to everybody else in my organization. And what we've seen is enabling a buyer like that dramatically shortened sales cycles, right? Because again, even if you are a salesperson and you manage to get those meetings with every one of those stakeholders, they're all busy, right? And meetings get canceled and so on. So these things drag out the sales cycle. We all know time kills all deals, right? So the better you can enable your buyer, the more chance you have to shorten the sales cycle and to actually win the deal. That's what we believe the future of SaaS sales and buying is.
I don't want to get out of here without asking you one kind of question, at least about your founder journey. So started in sales, went to marketing, now a founder. I feel like a lot of times, myself included, I feel like a lot of the founders in the SaaS space come from the tech side. But right now, there's a lot of change happening in go-to-market teams. I think a lot of people are considering starting their own venture, whether that's a tech company or, you know, a consulting business. What advice do you have for sales leaders or marketers out there who might be interested in taking the entrepreneurship leap?
Yeah, I think sales and product marketing in particular are great backgrounds to becoming a founder. Sure, you need a technical co-founder if you're starting a SaaS company or a software company. And I'm very fortunate that I have a full stack developer co-founder, Dane Lyons, who's incredibly talented because I would never be able to do any of the stuff he does. But again, it goes back to what I said earlier, where the founder is the original product marketer, right? Very early on, before we even had a product or even a prototype, we just talked to sales and product marketing leaders. Even though I was in those roles, I wanted to understand their day in, day out challenges that they're facing and validate this problem that we wanted to solve. And product marketing is the perfect skill set to be able to do that because that's what you do, right? And then being able to take those learnings and craft it into a differentiated position and messaging, build your first website, right? Think about how you're going to launch that product once it's ready to go to market. And then that's when it shifts over to the sales skill set, right? Where like you got to go out there and you got to start selling it to people. And even beyond that, if you're going to fundraise, you got to sell investors, right? And then you've got to sell employees to join the company. So sales as well is an incredible skill set to have for founding. Obviously, again, you need a technical co-founder or somebody that can build the product. But from a business standpoint, I'd argue it's hard to find better backgrounds than product marketing and sales for a founding CEO.
Yeah, similar journey ourselves when we were starting The Juice, made the leap to go start. It was actually during COVID. We're like, let's make sure we know where everything's going to net out. So I was like, I'm going to take 100 days and talk to 100 marketers and just revalidate the concept, you know, over and over again, let it take shape based on feedback. So that was something I recommend to all founders. Your sales input is exactly right. I always say founders have to love the chase, which is just the sell, right? You're either selling a customer, you're selling an investor, an employee. Everything is just, you're always chasing that sale, even if it's not literally dollars being exchanged. It is a chase. That's what the job is. Well, cool. We always ask our guests, last question, what is one unpopular opinion you have as it pertains to marketing?
I might not answer specific to marketing, but more to the founding journey, because there's one that sticks in my mind. It was a huge learning for me, probably one of the biggest so far. And that's actually that you don't need an idea to become a founder and to start a company. You know, we're solving my own problems. But when we first started on this journey, I hadn't quite honed in on this was the problem that I wanted to solve. There were a couple of things that we were floating around. Before honing in on the problem itself or the idea, I just knew that I wanted to sort of build a product or a company for a certain persona. So if you know that you want to be in a certain problem space or persona, even if you don't have an idea yet, go out there and just talk to that persona and ask them what are the things that keep you up at night? What are the like biggest pain points or friction points in your world right now, right? And speak to, you know, 10, 20, 50, 100 of those personas, and you'll start to see some trends, and very quickly that idea will emerge. And the reason I bring this up is I've always wanted to start a company. Even when I started in sales and I went into product marketing and so on, it was all with like, eventually I'm going to start something, and like I'm picking up skills now for when I start something. So that was always the end goal. But I always gave myself that excuse as well, right? Which was, I don't have a good idea, so I'm not going to start right now. I don't have a good idea. Once I have an idea, I'll start. And my biggest learning so far on this journey was that actually you don't need an idea. You just go out there. If you have a sense of who you want to build for, go out there and talk to them and just ask them, what's that biggest pain point? And the idea will emerge very, very quickly. And then the momentum starts going from there. So I don't know if that's a largely held belief. I think everybody tells this story that like there was this light bulb moment idea, and then they went out there. And I think for those that are looking for that, don't let that stop you. Just go out there and start talking to your target persona.
That's fascinating. You're exactly right, though. It's like very romantic to talk about that like aha moment, like that, you know, epiphany that comes to you in the middle of the night or whatever it is. That's super smart. I love that advice. Well, cool. Justin, if people want to learn more about Asset Mule or yourself, what is the best way for them to do that?
Yep. So assetmule.ai, check out our site. And, you know, we have a free forever plan. So if what we're doing interests you, you can sign up, get started for free. We're very active on LinkedIn. As I said, we're trying to empower the product marketer. So we're sharing all kinds of insights that we're getting directly from the field. We have a podcast, the GTM Pack, that we have product marketing leaders, sales leaders on all the time. Again, just trying to share as much knowledge as we're fortunate to uncover. And you can follow me as well on LinkedIn. That's where I'm most active. So Justin Dorfman, the one that's with Asset Mule, that's me. Feel free to reach out. I love chatting with product marketers, with sales folks. All these topics that we talked today are ones that I'm super passionate about. So I'm more than happy to answer any questions or chat with anybody that reaches out.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for joining today. We'll have all of those links in the show notes, all of our listeners and watchers. Thank you for joining us. Until next time on the Content Cocktail Hour, we'll see you soon. Cheers. Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.